Good morning. My name is Michael Hickox. I'm an evangelist with the Olney Church of Christ. We are a group of Christians who meet here in Olney at 220 North Van Street. We meet at 9:30 on Sunday mornings for Bible study, 10:20 on Sunday mornings for worship, 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoons for worship, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings for Bible study. We welcome visitors if you would like to join us as we assemble together to worship God and to study from His Word. We also offer in-home Bible studies. If you would be interested in studying from the inspired Word of God to learn more about Him and about His will for us, we would be happy to study with you. You can contact us at 217-218-0803. You can also contact us and learn more about us through our website, which is olneychurchofchrist.org. The website, again, is olneychurchofchrist.org. And the number is 217-218-0803. This morning in our program, we will notice some things that Scripture teaches that are ingredients for effective Bible study. We will look at five ingredients here this morning, and then, Lord willing, next Sunday morning in our program, we will look at five additional ingredients. But these are things that Scripture teaches are necessary in order for us to glean from our study of the Bible the things that we should. As we think about the Bible, it is a wonderful blessing to have this book available to us. It is wonderful that God has left us this good book, and that we have such good access to this book in the time and place that we live. This book is designed to take us from where we are to where we need to be. It is a book that tells us all about God and who He is, everything we need to know about Him, that is. It's a book that tells us about His Son, about the Holy Spirit. It's a book that tells us about mankind and how we came to be and what our great problem is, what plan God came up with to be able to allow us the chance to be saved. It tells us all about what is needed from us if we are to receive the salvation that God offers. This book is just full of instruction concerning things that pertain to life and godliness. There is so much good that can come from our study of this good book. But as we look at what Scripture teaches about our approach to the Bible, we want to recognize that it is very possible for us to handle the Word of God wrongly, and thus for us to not gain from God's Word the things that He desires. If you look over in Acts, the 20th chapter, Acts chapter 20 and in verse 32, Acts chapter 20 and in verse 32. And I'll be reading from the World English Bible translation here this morning. In that verse, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the elders at Ephesus. And he tells them there, "Now, brothers, I entrust you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Notice here that he speaks about the word of God's grace and says it is able to build up. God's word has that ability to build our faith and to build us into the kind of people who are pleasing to God. God's word has the ability to produce good fruit in our lives. But notice here, he does not say that God's word is guaranteed to do that. Rather, he says God's word is able to do that. We must enable God's word to do that by approaching the Bible in the way that we should. And so we'll look now at some specific ingredients for effective Bible study. These are things that we should practice with our approach to Scripture, whether we are studying in groups or as individuals. And this is not intended to be an exhaustive list, but it is a list of some of the things that God shows us in His Word are necessary for us to glean from the Bible what we should. And so, for instance, one ingredient for effective Bible study is a recognition of the Bible's origin. If you look over at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'll read verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "Every scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Notice that phrase in verse 16, "Every scripture is God-breathed." The King James Version renders that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so what that verse tells us is that as we think about the Bible, the words contained in the Bible were written by men who physically took pen to paper, but really there is just one author of this book, the Bible, and that author is God. God inspired them to write the words that he wanted to be contained in Scripture. And so while he led men to physically take pen to paper and write these things, it is God who ultimately is the author of this book, the Bible. This book is inspired by God, verbally, meaning that he directed these men to write the specific words that we have recorded for us in Scripture. And it's good for us to start there in our study of the Bible, to begin by acknowledging and recognizing that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And because this book is the inspired Word of God, that implies that it is infallible truth. If you look over in John the 17th chapter, in John chapter 17, and in verse 17, Jesus here in this chapter was praying, and specifically in this verse, he was praying for his disciples. And there in John 17:17, he prays, "Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth." So notice there that Jesus prayed that his disciples would be sanctified, that is, to be set apart from the evil of the world in order to bring glory to God. And he specifies what it is that is going to lead his disciples to be sanctified. That is God's truth. And then he says, "Your word is truth." And so he references God's word here as the truth that can lead us to be set apart from the evils of the world and thus bring glory to God. I really want to emphasize here, though, that because we know that the Bible is the inspired word of God, we thus can know that it is absolute, infallible truth that is important for us to recognize as we approach our study of the Bible. But a second ingredient for effective Bible study, and this one in a lot of ways follows upon the first, that is a determination to accept truth. Not only do we want to recognize that the Bible is truth, but we want to determine that we are going to accept the truths contained in this book. If you look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 13, here the Holy Spirit through Paul is commending the brethren at Thessalonica, and he says, "For this cause we also thank God without ceasing, that when you received from us the word of the message of God, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also works in you who believe." So here he speaks about the teaching of the apostles during the first century. This teaching took place prior to the complete written word being available to mankind. And as the apostles were teaching, they were speaking by direct inspiration of God. And so what they were teaching was not really the word of men, but rather it is the truth, the word of God. And that truth is recorded for us in Scripture. That is, the Bible contains these words of truth that Paul was making reference to here in this verse. But notice there that it says that these brethren at Thessalonica accepted this as truth. We must determine when we approach our study of the Bible that we are going to accept the truth contained therein. And this is a principle that can be easier for us to agree upon when we just first start talking about how we're going to approach the Bible. But it can be more difficult when we actually start getting into some specific things that God wants us to believe and practice as people who are subject to the law of Christ. When we start getting into things like how one can be added by the Lord to His church, when we start getting into things like the necessity of baptism, when we start getting into things like there being one church or one body, as we see in Ephesians 4, when we start getting into moral issues, things like marriage and divorce and remarriage, and the different roles of husbands and wives, when we start getting into some specifics about what God's Word teaches to be true, we must remember we were determined when we began our study of the Bible that we are going to accept the truth contained herein, whether it agrees with what we currently believe and practice or not. We are going to accept it because it is the infallible truth of God. And so that's a second ingredient that is very important for us to have as we approach our study of the Bible. But a third ingredient that we'll notice here this morning, and this follows up upon the second, and that is having a desire to know truth. And so we want to determine that we are going to accept the truth that we see taught in God's Word when we are confronted with it. But we want to not just determine to accept it, we want to desire to know that truth. We want to have a longing for the truth that is contained in the Word of God. And one point that we might make on this that is important for us to consider when we study the Bible is to recognize, first of all, that we can know this truth. Every one of us can know the truths that God teaches us in His Word. If you look over at 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'll read verses 3 and 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Here the inspired writer is speaking about the need for us to pray for others. And specifically, he mentions here praying for leaders of nations. And notice what he says here in verses 3 and 4 about why this is so important to God. He says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to full knowledge of the truth." Notice there that verse 4 says, God desires all people. He desires all people to come to a full knowledge of the truth. And so we want to recognize, as we think about the Bible, that every one of us can know the truths contained herein. It's not just for a select few. Rather, it is for all of us. But just because we can know the truth doesn't mean we will know the truth. We must have a desire to know this truth in order to understand it as we should. If you look over in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 2, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2, there the inspired writer says, "As newborn babies long for the pure milk of the Word, that with it you may grow." Notice here he says, just like newborn babies have this great longing, this great desire for physical milk, that's the kind of longing, the kind of desire that we need to have for the spiritual nutrition provided in the Word of God. We should be hungering and thirsting for righteousness and for truth. That is important if we're going to have an effective study of the Bible. It's important for us to approach our study with a great desire to know this truth contained herein. But a fourth ingredient that we'll consider here this morning for effective Bible study is having the right motive. when we study Scripture. If you turn over to Acts chapter 17, we'll notice something there in that passage that brings this out. Acts chapter 17, and we'll look at verse 11 in just a moment. But as we think about the motivation that we might have for studying the Bible, we may be studying for the purpose of winning an argument with somebody. We may be studying for the purpose of proving ourselves right. We may be studying with our minds already made up about what the Bible says and looking for passages to support what we've already decided we believe. We may be studying to convince ourselves that there's no changes we need to make in our lives because we're just fine as we are. There are all kinds of reasons for studying the Word of God. But what our motivation should be is simply a desire to know what the truth is from God and thereby believe and practice what He would have us to and thus please Him. There in Acts chapter 17 and in verse 11, it says, "Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of the mind, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." Here in this verse, the inspired writer speaks about Paul and Silas's reaction they received from some of the people in Berea. When they were in Thessalonica just a few verses before, they angered some there who basically drove them out of the city. But when Paul and Silas came to Berea, verse 11 points out that they received a very different reaction from the people. It says, "These individuals were more noble than those in Thessalonica," and specifies that they received the word with all readiness of the mind. And it mentions they were examining the Scriptures daily, and their motivation for doing so is to see whether these things were so. Their motivation was not to try to win an argument with Paul and Silas. Their motivation was not to just try to make themselves feel like they were fine as they were and there was no changes that needed to be made in their lives. Instead, their motivation was, we want to find out what does God's Word teach. And whatever that Word is, whatever that truth is, that's what we want to accept and believe and put into practice. And that's the same motivation that we should have as we approach the Word of God. And a fifth ingredient that we'll notice here this morning, in a lot of ways, follows up upon this fourth one, and that is that we need to have an honest heart when we approach the Word of God. We need to have an honest heart that will honestly consider when we hear something that might conflict with what we currently believe and practice. We need to have the kind of heart that will honestly consider, is this God's truth, whether it agrees with what I currently believe or not. If you look over in Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, here in this passage, Jesus was explaining the parable of the sower, in which he talked about seed falling on four different types of ground. And he mentions that the seed represents the Word of God, and these four different places where seed falls represents different reactions to the Word of God. But he talks here in verse 15 about what's represented by the seed that fell in good ground. He says, "That in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and good heart having heard the word, hold it tightly and produces fruit with patience. If we are going to allow God's word to produce good fruit in our lives, we must receive God's word with an honest and good heart. We must give an honest evaluation of what Scripture teaches, doing our very best to not let our biases and our preconceived notions determine what we believe, but rather simply let the Word of God dictate what we accept as truth. That is very important if we are going to study the Bible effectively, having an honest heart. And so as we think about these five ingredients, recognition of the Bible's origin, determination to accept truth, desire to know truth, right motivation, honest heart, and Lord willing, next week we'll look at five more as we dig more into how we can know if something applies to us today or not, as some things in Scripture apply to those who were subject to the law of Moses, and we'll talk about that distinction, Lord willing, next week. But as we think about this, I hope this will help us to understand how we should approach the Bible, the Word of God. If you have any questions about anything that's been stated, or you would like to study further, please don't hesitate to contact us. You can reach us at 217-218-0803, and our website is allneychurchofchrist.org. We will conclude our 30-minute lesson with a hymn from the Favorite Hymns Quartet. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful day.